Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney to Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. Let's have trial by combat, Giuliani said. You know what? It's funny. I kind of agree with that, you know, because we are never, ever, ever going to get justice as black folks. Mm-mm. He said, let's have trial by combat on the steps of the Capitol. And amazing, you go on the steps of the Capitol and say, let's have trial by combat, you get your butt arrested. But not him. Anyhow, him and his buddy Trump, that's with a little T, that's not a capital T, little Trump and Giuliani, they're being sued by one of the congressmen. It called the 1871 law, violating the Ku Klux Klan Act, a post-Civil War law that allows the lawsuit to go forward. Because any time you try to stop anything they do in Washington, D.C., it's against the law. And you should be sued. That's what it's all about. Bernie Thompson put it together. He's from Mississippi. And I got nothing but respect for him. That's a gigantic step. Matter of fact, I just hope maybe another 150 people file suit against them, because I think it's crucial. I think it's important that we take this thing to a whole different level. And this is what I like for people to know. Being white does not make you a racist. There's a lot of white folks that's not racist. And being black does not make you a slave. Being an idiot, however, comes in both colors, black and white. That's right. But if you are white and you voted Republican and you voted for Donald Trump, then I will say you're Trump. You're racist. Straight up racist. That's right. Because you dealing with his ideology. He's a racist. His father was a racist. His father was a racist. And all the way back, they're a group of racist people. And don't let them off the hook. Black folks will come out, you know, I'll say in a minute that he's not a racist. I've had some black folks that even voted for him. If you voted for Trump, you could never be my friend. You can't be my friend. You and I would never be friends. Because then you're saying it's all right what they're doing to black folks. Amazing. You know, they call this Black History Month. Every month is Black History Month as far as I'm concerned. And when I speak about it, it's just so amazing. One incident happened in 1958. The Ku Klux Klan, better known as the KKK Klan, they planned a rally at Maxton, North Carolina, to harass the Lumbee tribe and members and other non-whites. They wanted to attack black folks also. But this tribe was Pacific. But this tribe knew how to fight. See, on the night of the rally, over 500 Lumbees men showed up to the KKK rally with guns, sticks, hammers, you name it, they had it. All kind of weapons. The Lumbee went on and attacked the KKK and was routed and ran out of town. It's what is known and what is called now the Battle of Hayes Pond. That's a little black history that we need to know, see, and understand who the KKK is. We must understand who they are. And we as a group and as a team, we got to stand up for what's right. There's nothing more important than standing up for what is right. Wow, that's amazing. You know, and they always talk about poverty. See, we can end poverty. That's man-made. Poverty is made by man. See, and I want to refute the statement that they are not clear teaching on the responsibility of society to pass policy that end poverty. As a minister, as a teacher, as a pastor, it is imperative that we lean on the Bible teaching, preaching, minister to all what is really all about, the poor economy, justice, what believers are required to do to obey God. As people committed to the poor, Proverbs 28:6-8 reads, "Is better a poor man who walks in his integrity than a rich man who is crooked and doing all this thing." And that's what we have today. This is exactly what's been going on for years and years and years. The rich getting richer, the poor getting poorer, and nobody want to talk. They don't even want to pay people $15 an hour. They fighting now to keep people from getting $15 an hour, which is today is not a lot of money. Everything has went up: rent, food, the electric, gas. Everything has went up, but the pay. They don't want to pay you. But even if they do raise it to $15. What is going to happen is they're going to increase everything because the rich continue to get richer, and we allow it. Anytime you allow them to get richer, they're never satisfied. The Gates got billions and billions and billions of dollars. They would never be able to spend all that money, even their children and their children's children, but yet they want more. All these people, the Waltons, you go to Walmart, you know, And what they do, they try to take everything. They don't even pay the people. I think they get paid $11 an hour at Walmart with no benefits or something like that. I don't know. I never worked at Walmart, but my thoughts are that way when you think about them. But we, the people have to stand up. They have to stand up and say no more. You see, $15 an hour is not a whole lot of money. Everything when it comes to getting paid, everything increases but your paycheck, which is unfortunate because we allow it. Anything you allow, you're saying it's okay. You're saying it's all right. You know, people have to come together. There's strength in numbers. And I want to say this to my black brothers and sisters. If you know any of these athletes who are making all this money, they can get a 501c3, donate that money to their 501c3, and start building up their community. You can put health centers there, banks. You can put grocery stores, gas stations, clothing stores. And then you could also start training the community how to become plumbers, electricians, bricklayers, pipe fitters, the whole works. I mean, it's a no-brainer. We got to change the way we do business. What we do today is going to prepare us for the future. And I think right now we have failed. We have failed the next generation by not doing what needs to be done. They're not going to give us anything. If we can't take it, it's not going to happen. And they don't believe that we can take it because we have so many sellouts in the community. You know, that guy William O'Neill, the Judas, that movie. You see, it's they're all over the place. These guys, and then at the end, they look like a fool. Especially when they don't need them no more. When they don't need them no more, they want to come back to your community like they a hero, and we accept them. We accept them right back in our community. That's how we do this. And for reasons unknown, we believe it's okay. It's not okay. Do not allow these people back in our community. Don't let them come into our community and continue doing the same thing. There's nothing worse than a sellout. Now, the NAACP is a sellout organization. The Action Network is a sellout organization. You see, and the first thing that Biden want to do, they want to go talk to the NAACP and the National Action Network. They are the reason we're in this position that we're in today. We got to change the way we do business. But I have one of my guests on today, one of my really, really good friends, a guy who grew up on my same street. We were in the eighth grade together, maybe the seventh and the eighth. I don't know whether I don't remember him in the seventh grade, but also remember he always sat behind me. And he used to try to, you know, cheat a little bit, try to copy off of me and stuff like that, you know. But it was okay because he was my friend. You know, he used to sit right behind me, you know. I remember when we was in the eighth grade and we had this teacher named Miss Jordan. And we used to have to take the Constitution. And if you don't pass the Constitution, you don't graduate from the eighth grade. Or we used to graduate from the eighth grade at that time. And I remember the goal was for me to get 100. I wanted to get 100. My brother, he took it the year before that. He got a 95. And that next year, it was my turn. I took it and got 100. And Miss Jordan, the teacher, was crying because she was saying, nobody get 100 on the Constitution. But we studied and got it. They even brought my father up there to try to accuse me of cheating, but it was okay. I knew my stuff. But anyway, my good friend, Yoke, also on my baseball team. Yeah, he was a 250 hitter. I told him last week, see, this is important. You see, if he would hit 250 today, he can get a $100 million contract. That's right. 250 in our days was not good. But 250 today will get you $100 million. Yeah, I told him. I told my other buddies, too, Roy and Reggie. I told them, see, y'all don't be bad. Don't be mad because y'all only hit 250. Because if you're hitting 250 today, you'll be worth $100 million. You can get a $100 million contract. And my man, yo, he understands that. You know, he's been around, but he understands. But let me bring in my good buddy, my main man, Larry Pinson. We call him Big Yo. Big Yo, are you there? Talk to me.
Hey, Larry, can you hear me, man?
I can hear you well, my brother. I can hear you well. I can hear you well. How you doing?
No, when you gonna stop lying to the people? Talking about I hit 250. You know, a 250 hitter back in the day when we were playing baseball. You can't get on the team.
Well, you was on the team because she was my friend.
No. I don't even think I hit 375. You know.
You was a good glove man. I mean, you at first base, you was a good glove man with that left hand. I can tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
You see? Yeah. Look, if you would hit 250 today, man, you'd be worth $100 million. Man.
You know what?
The White Sox would pick you.
You know what? You brought up a good point about these athletes today making this kind of money. But
yeah.
I'm on the show today. I don't know if you got my press release, because I really wanted you to read that.
I did not get the press release. I was looking through my email. I went through my spam and everything. I did not locate that. I did not see it unless you just sent it. If you just, because that was before, that was around a quarter to a five here, and I was looking for it, and I could not find it. But hey, you got it. Why don't you read it to us? Tell us about tell me about it, because I want you to have plenty of time today. I want you to do and tell us your story, because I don't get a chance to talk to you too often, but when I do, hey, I'm always excited to talk to you, my brother, because you know what? You're my main man. When I think about you, I always think about your mom, and you know, and how's your mom doing?
You know, she's not doing that well. I think they're gonna put on hospice, and so.
Oh.
She took a turn for the worse, you know, because the blood pressure is low, and but she stayed with me for 103 years, you know. So,
yeah, 103 years old.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm blessed, and I feel good about that.
Absolutely.
And,
absolutely.
Yeah, but let's get down to brass tacks, Ed.
All right, let's talk to me.
Okay. First of all, just like Donald Trump lied to the public and those Republicans going along with talking about he won the election, and so we got to realize that for years and years and years, the black man has been lied to, and every which way you go. Okay, so. I want to say that you know you have your own fingerprint, and
that's
you know
right.
You have your own DNA. So, but just recently we found out, you know, that we have our own DNA because, like I said, back in the day they was locking people up with bad DNA, you know, accusing them for crimes, and they was incarcerated for what 25, 30 years for a crime that they did not commit. And not only that, if the people that was killed and executed because of crimes that they did not commit.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so we've always been on the short end of the stick. But you know what, though? God said the first is going to come last, and the last is going to come first.
Amen.
So I'm here today to tell you that it's a saying that Dr. Martin Luther King used in one of his speeches. He said that Negro will never be free until they stand up and reach deep down in the bottom of their soul and sign their own Emancipation Proclamation. Don't let nobody take your manhood.
Amen.
So what God gave us, he gave us 168 hours, meaning that everybody on this earth has 168 hours. Because
that's a week,
said,
right?
Everybody is created equal, okay?
Okay.
So when
okay.
they say that, I think about my man, LeBron James. Hey, man, not too many people can play ball like LeBron James. So as far as playing basketball, no. Everybody wasn't created equal. As far as those Tuskegee Airmen flying those planes over there in World War II that they wasn't getting no credit for, couldn't nobody fly those planes like they did. And so my point is that you have your own 168 hours, and then God made this earth for everybody. So
okay.
Now, you got to understand that the people are working out of schedule. And by them working out of schedule, they don't realize that they have 168 hours. So, like, if you graduate from college and get a degree, and you're a doctor, a lawyer, or whatever, and you feel good about yourself, and then first thing you might say, some people might say that God gave me this job. You know what I mean? He gave me this education, okay? And you got that job, you top-notch doctor. But my point is, he gave you the job, but he did not give you that patience that you ain't. Because it ain't no such thing as 8 hours overtime in 8 hours. You can't get it. And so, and by him being, he giving everybody 168, that means that you had to work 1 week and be off 3 weeks and 1 day within 1 week. That means that you had to work in a CHOPS pay system. A CHOPS pay system is 3 fiscal years, and I say fiscal actual year, The reason I say physical action is because it's hour for hour you are living. So it's a government fiscal year now. I'm not talking about anybody else's fiscal year. If it's not a government fiscal year, it's not right. So you got a lot of fiscal years, and a lot of companies, corporations have different fiscal years, but the only one that works, that's the only thing the government got right, is the fiscal year. And so the fiscal year, they'll tell you the fiscal year will end September 30th. But that's really not true. It actually ends October the 31st. But they use October to get their books ready for the following year. And so in a child pay system, it's three fiscal years and one calendar year pay system. That's what you got to go through. And now people don't understand how many hours they had to work for their yearly salary. But I'm going to tell you this. They had to work 2,080 hours for their yearly salary. And then people got to understand the pay period. They have to work, you know, when I tell people pay period is 2 months, they go crazy. But it's actually 2 months at the United States Post Office. So, but everybody at the United States Post Office do not understand the pay system. They'll tell you that. They'll tell you they get paid every 2 weeks. That's not true. It's just like Donald Trump saying he won the election. They'll tell you that the pay is 52. It's 52 a week. That's not true. It's just like Donald Trump saying he won the election.
All right.
They'll tell you that the postal worker, the letter carriers, has to be off every holiday, but they shouldn't be off every holiday. And so that's not true either. That's another Donald Trump saying that he won the election. See, everything at the United States Post Office, what they're doing now is incorrect. And that's a pay system that the government is behind. And they are trying to make there's a lot of black people that work for the United States Post Office. It's a lot of black people that came from the South. They migrated from the South and came to the North. And then the people was filling cotton sacks in the South, and they moved to the North, started filling mail sacks. But then behind closed doors, they said, there's a bunch of no good black people working at the post office. I'm not going to work for the post office because they don't pay that much, okay? They didn't. They gave you a very poor salary at the beginning. But the old post guy, he was slick, though. He was smart. What he did, he inducted and infected the worker with overtime. So it's no such thing as overtime. Now remember what I told you. There's no such thing as overtime. You're only allowed 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. That's the labor law. But the labor law, if you go down to the labor board and you ask them, do I work 8 hours a day for 8 hours of pay? And they'll say, yeah. But that's not true. That's not Donald Trump saying he won the election. That's a lie. You cannot work 8 hours a day for 8 hours of pay. That's a straight up lie. So we got to get these lies out, and we'll never, like I told you, you will never be free until you own, stand up and know that you own your own hours. So, like I said, you work 1 week, be off 3 weeks and 1 day within 1 week. Now, what I'm saying is you got to have a regular work. It's only one type of regular work week. It's another holiday work week. It's an 8 hour, it's a 24/7 regular work week. It's a 24/8 holiday work week. Oh, and I had to add another week, another day to the week. How can you do that, Larry? It's simple, man. You know, because every day is the same. But on a holiday, or like they have 10 holidays at the United States Post Office. They have 6 major holidays. And they have 4 non-major holidays. Now, you know, a letter carrier, he ain't working on no holiday. But they should. They're supposed to run a Sunday schedule. Most people in the United States do not understand that that a mail should be delivered on a Sunday as well. Because it's 24/7 operation. We do not have no locks on the doors. We're constantly working, and the mail is constantly flowing. Because we don't have no beavers at the post office. Because when you start working, see that beaver's going to jam up the water. And then the water mm-hmm. starts flowing. But the mail got to keep on flowing because it's 24/7, and we going to float. But the problem is that United States Postmaster that don't know what he's doing, giving orders to slow down the mail delivery, and then make you look like a fool. The workers look like a fool, make them look lazy and stuff like that. But that's not true. Because guess what, little Ed? Those workers are working for themselves. Mm. The post office is not paying them. They're working for themselves. So let me break it down what I mean by work for themselves. When I first started United States Post Office, I prayed for that job, man. You know, I said, oh, Lord, please let me give that job. Please. Okay, I got the job, man. You know. But I still didn't know how I got paid. So it's 5 different pay systems in CHAPS. And I'm gonna let you know about all 5 of them. And let's get back to the post office. I went there, and you know what they told me? They said, hey, we can only guarantee you 20 hours a week. I said, what?
Mm-hmm.
20 hours a week? I can't live out no 20 hours a week, man. What's wrong with you, man? You know, then, you know, I was talking to a supervisor, you know. Oh, Larry, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it, man. You're going to get 40 hours a week and plus some overtime. I said, yeah, for real? Yeah. I did that, Ed. I
mm-hmm.
did that
mm-hmm.
for 16 years that I worked for the post office. But I was always wondering, where did that money come from, man? You know, because it's not coming from the stamp. And then the United States Post Office, they will admit that it's not coming from taxes either. They will admit it, but they won't say it too loud. Hey, but they will admit that. But you know what? I was looking on the internet, and they said, what, 18 million dollars, $1 billion, taxpayer's gift to the United States
mm-hmm.
Post Office. A gift for what? We don't need no gift. All we need is somebody to run a tax pay system, and we're going to be fine. Right now, the mail delivery is jammed up, and the mail delivery will not be fixed until they run a tax pay system. Now, what I mean by running a child's pay system, you got to schedule the people work. You got to schedule them right. So we have bids, what you call bids, in the United States Post Office. And so I always say, I feel proud by myself. I say, you got to work a unique four-in-the-box pay system. A unique four-in-the-box pay system is a unique bid. That means that you're going to cover 7 days. A CHAPS pay system is the only pay system right now in existence that will work. Every other pay system, including the post office, they are scheduling people with a 5-day work week. But it's
mm-hmm.
not a 5-day work week. It's a 7-day work week. So you have to schedule the work week on, and then you have to schedule work week off using this four-in-the-box pay system. You can see that in my book. But I'm gonna run it fast, right fast. But you know, see, I know I don't lost your audience because they said, "What the heck is this dude talking about?" But you know, you go to PinSonSR.net, and then you can see some stuff. And then you go to the Larry Pinson Senior YouTube video, and then you can see some stuff too. You know, because we'll never be free, like I said, until you own up. That you know that you have your 168 hours. And then, you know, like, when somebody tells you to come to work out of your pay location, now you only got 8 hours in your pay location. And so it's only three pay locations, and then the day going to change. So you have to use a 24-hour pay system, 24-hour
mm-hmm.
clock. That's what the military used. Now, let me tell you about the military. When I was over there in Vietnam, I thought I got paid on a weekend, Saturday, Sunday. But there ain't no such thing as a weekend. I shouldn't use that word, a weekend. People don't understand it's no weekends in your life. In other words, I tell you what, if everybody thinks a weekend is Saturday, Sunday, and I tell you what, if Everybody thought that, and everybody knew that. God would get everybody sick. They'll make everybody sick on Saturday and Sunday. And guess what? What the doctor said? He'll make you run out of gas on Saturday and Sunday. So that's asinine, and that's nuts. So mm-hmm. you know, people want you to think that. And people, you know, they're going with these Democrats, independents, and
Republicans,
the GOP, the Trump party. But you know what? Guess what? None of them are working in the child pay system. So what they get the money from? They taxing us. They taxing me, you, because I own a little piece of property in city of Chicago. Now, on the 2nd of March, I got to pay my property taxes. So I got to pay the mayor. I got to pay the city workers. I got to pay the police department. And with the mayor, she got a budget for the United States the police department. It's the biggest budget in the city, and it's no good. The reason why I say it's no good, once again, I told you, it's no overtime in 8 hours. It's no overtime. So you done ran out of bullets. In other words, I had to use the word bullets, but you done ran out of hours. All you got is you got 8 hours, 5 days a week. That's it. You ain't got you're working 12 hours, 14 hours, just like those healthcare workers, and everybody's praising those healthcare workers. Let me tell you something about overtime. Overtime is just like the COVID virus in a work system. Let me say that one more time, Lil Ed. Overtime is like a COVID virus in a work system. That's why you have unemployment. How many people that you got unemployment? They got 168 hours. Put them to work. They put them to work. They own their own hours. Put them to work. But no. You want to have the government to get a stipend. Not a stipend, but collect money so that they can manipulate you and have you hanging around hoping for a check. Man, please, we got to wake up, black people. You got to wake up. And I'm not, and you mentioned those athletes. Now, the athletes, they talk about getting their salary. You know, like, let's say somebody like LeBron James, let's say he's making $100,000 a year, $100 million, I'm sorry, $100 million a year. Guess what, Ed? If LeBron James make $100 million a year in a child pay system, he going to have to work 8,320 hours, 2,080 hours for his salary of $100 million, 2,080 hours for a salary of $100 million to pay for all his benefits, 2,080 hours for a salary to pay for his stipend pay. Now he's going to get double back because he's going to have to make another 2,080 hours to work for another $100 million to get that money back to the owner. So you don't owe me. No, Doc. See, these athletes, like you said, you know, give no. They ain't got to give nobody nothing. But you got to stand up for yourself. They own the team, but they don't own you. And I want you to let them know, Ed, and whoever listens to your show right now, nobody own nobody. God is the one. He's the man that's giving you that 168.
Absolutely.
And let me ask you something. Let me ask you about that 168. Now, 168 hours, that's 1 week, right? That's 7 times 24. That's 168.
It.
Okay.
That's it. Everybody got it.
Yeah, right. And that's the first week. The other 3 weeks now, you got three more weeks in that month with 168, and 168. Okay, happens to those weeks, even though that you still have to work? Talk to me about that.
Okay, let's say you're going to work them. Okay, so let's say by you own your own bid, okay? You own your own bid.
Uh-huh.
And so let's get it straight. So every fiscal year calendar is 160 hours for 14 months. But two of the months, 200 hours every week. So every week, it's not like a calendar year. So nobody, I haven't seen a fiscal year calendar. Nobody posts them. So people they're gonna have to start posting this so they'll know where their money coming from. And that means everybody, I'm talking about people that are working, healthcare workers, police officers, everybody. See, I want to get back to the police officer too, you know. But anyway, let me explain that to you. Okay, so let's say I go on vacation for 1 week in that month. Okay, see now, remember, 10 hours represent my yearly salary. 10 hours represent my that's hidden figures. 10 hours represent my benefit. 10 hours represent my stipend pay. 10 hours for my next year's salary. But you don't see those 30 hours. All you see is 10, because at the end of the year on your yearly check, all you see is the 2,080 hours. You do not see the 2,080 hours for your benefit. You do not see the 2,080 hours for your stipend pay, and you do not see the 2,080 hours for your next year's salary. But you own those own hours. Now, how you own your own hours is that when you first start a United States Post Office, you are taking somebody's place. You don't have no money. So like when they told me I was only guaranteed 20 hours a week, it took me 10 years after I retired from the post office to really understand what they were talking about. Because I had to write the book, and I got four different editions out there. But this last book is it. I got that last book straight. And so, but anyway, you got to understand, you own your own hours, and you cannot work out of your pay location. So let's go with the pay locations. The pay locations, like I said, it's two types. One of them is a 24-hour clock, and then you got the 12 a.m. and the 12 p.m., okay? 12 hours, okay. So you could two or two, okay, is from 4 a.m. to 12 noon. That's it. And then 2 or 3 is from 12 noon to 8 p.m. And then from 2 or 1, it starts at eight p.m. and it ends the next day at 4 p.m. So you got to understand that. See, the people on 201, they go into it the next day. So that's why they say it's a 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Because you have 4 hours. You have 4 hours from 201, and then you have 8 hours from 202 for the a.m. And then you have 8 hours for the p.m. from 2 or 3, and 4 hours for the p.m. for 2 or 1. And that's 24/7. And each, so you cannot work in nobody else's pay system, because it's not counting. So in other words, you can work. But you're working out of schedule, and then when you work out of schedule, then when somebody take off, you don't have nobody to take their place. That's like that's why the people at the letter carriers are all out of schedule, man. You know, and they're using their own money too, but they're out of schedule, and then those people they want to be all, and then what they'll tell you, oh, you can't be all. So they just call in sick. Simple as that. You know, that's why they call in sick. But it's no reason for the call in sick, because once you call, if you call in and use your annual leave and you use your sick leave, is money still there to pay somebody to come in and take your place? But they are out of schedule. Because they don't own their own hours. I mean, they own their own hours, but they don't know it.
Yeah.
Because I heard the supervisor tell them, you don't own your own house. You know, they had me working a crazy schedule. And so that's why I had to, man, think about this thing, man. You know, with
absolutely
divine intervention. I had to,
you
know.
You know,
hey,
this is what I think. See, people, I think you way ahead of your time because people don't get that. They see, in their mind, what you're saying is so powerful because everybody don't know how the pay system runs. And that's why I wanted you on my show today so you could tell the people how this pay system runs. And I don't want you to give them too much because if you give them too much, all they're going to do is confuse them. But I want you to come back on the show again. I want you to take these last 3 minutes and tell us how they can find your book on the internet and how they can get in touch with you so you can sit down and explain this to them. Can you do that for me?
Yes, I can. You know,
you got three minutes to tell it.
My website is Pinson1615 at Comcast.net. My website is PinsonSenior.net, and my you go on and look at my website, and you look at my YouTube videos, and all I want you to understand that you own your own hours, and you have 168 hours, and including the politicians. So we shouldn't be charged no tax because on the front of my book it's saying providing jobs without taxpayers' money, providing jobs without corporate money, and providing jobs without private business owners' money. So the teachers, they're all out of schedule. Even the people, you know, the people that work in restaurants, man, they're all out of schedule because if they're working in the child pay system, if you close down that restaurant, you're not gonna stop your pay from coming. You're getting $168 every week. So people talking about, oh, the economy is going bad because of COVID. That's a lie. Just like Donald Trump said, he won the election. That's another thing. That's a lie.
I like that, yo. I like that. Absolutely. Absolutely. Right on. Hey, big fella, I don't want you to give him too much because I know it's heavy, and you're a brilliant young man, too. And I know where you're going with this. And a lot of people have to go to your website. Mention your website again so they can go there and take a look at what you're saying, and that way they'll know for themselves. And I know you got a lot of information on your website, so mention your website one more time, and then I got to go. Go ahead. Talk to me.
It's PinsonSR.net. PinsonSR.net. All right, Lil Ed.
All right. Now, hey, yo, let's talk soon, man. Hey. You stay focused, and I'm going to be praying for your mom, too. And I've been knowing her for years and years and years, and love her very, very much. And also, you know, tell your sister, too, that I'm thinking about her. And take care of yourself. You hear? And anything comes up, you know, give me a call.
I appreciate it, man. All right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I got you, big fella. All right, big yo. 250 here.
All right,
That's my good friend, man. We was in school together, 7th, 8th grade. Just a really, really a great guy. He is, you know, he's one of the few guys and smart too. He's not as smart as I am, but he's smart. Let's put it that way. But he's a really, really good guy. I tell you, and I love him. And anything I can do to help this young man, I want to do it. So go to his website. Go to his website. And look up his book. I'm gonna bring in my good friend Marcina. I know she got a lot to say, and let's hear what she got to say. Marcina Cole from Detroit, talk to me.
How you doing, Reverend Pinkney?
I'm doing great. Good,
good. We've gone through the inclement weather around here, across the country, and all that. But I just want to briefly give an update on COVID-19. It's still here. We still have to wear the mask and practice social distancing, and definitely wash our hands. And so we're dealing with a lot. And right now I just want to give an update on the Michigan cases, 576,000, that amount, 15,000 deaths in the state of Michigan. in the United States, over 28 million cases, 500,000 deaths in this country alone. And worldwide, it's 111 million total cases. And recovery, they got 62 million cases. Nevertheless, we're still dealing with the COVID-19, and particularly has really been affected the most. The nursing homes, the Michigan prisons, in the state of Michigan, where it was over 22,000 prisoners have recovered from COVID-19, and there have been 138 prisoners and 4 staff members death. And I'm pretty sure it's more than that. Only a prison, there were 90 cases of COVID-19 variant that was found at that particular prison. So they claim they almost reached the herb immunity with the prisons in Michigan, but they weren't quite there yet. But as far as I'm concerned, those prisons throughout the state of Michigan, the COVID cases is out of control, not wearing masks, not practicing 6 feet distances with the prisoners. You might have more than one person in one small room, and in a larger room area, they're very tightly close. And this, you know, and that aspect, you cannot control the COVID-19 virus. And so a lot of things that have happened because of that. The staff, I'm pretty sure they were spreading that as they came to work. Obviously, the prisoners being so close among each other and not having the protection that they needed that prevents them from getting the COVID. So I know you probably heard about that, Reverend Pinkney, about the Ionia cases.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so, you know about the prisons more than I do, and you know that when the prisoners, when they get sick, the MDOC, they don't care about them. So
they got the worst medical service in the world.
Mm-hmm. Huh?
I said they have the worst medical service there is in the world. They don't care nothing about the prisoners. Nothing.
They don't care nothing about
them. And look, it costs a lot of money to go see the nurse. It costs a lot of money because you don't always see a doctor, you see a nurse. And they don't even care. They don't care. If everything they do, they give you an aspirin. I don't care what it is.
Right.
You have a broken arm, they give you an aspirin. You have a broken leg, they give you an aspirin. Whatever it is, you get and the aspirins are these generic aspirins. And they have, you know, it's almost like not even going to the nurse in the prison system.
Exactly. And then right now they have these vaccinations. Well, a small percentage of the prisoners are getting the vaccinations, but throughout this country, it's been millions of the COVID-19 vaccinations distributed. But unfortunately, because of what went on in Texas and some other states, there's been delays in having, because of the storm, it's been delayed. So they're trying to control this virus through the vaccination, COVID-19, but it's really, they're not real sure how effective it's going to be. They say 95% with Pfizer and the other one, vaccination. What was the name of that one? Menanta, whatever it is. It begins with an M.
Mendoza.
Well, something like that. But anyway, so they only have 2 here in America. So they both rate about 95%. And then some people have died because they had taken the COVID-19 vaccination. So we're dealing with that. And they're trying to create an herb immunity. That's not going to happen for a long time. We got to continuously wear our mask, and But I want to move forward, even like in Texas, with the massive winter storm, which they weren't prepared for it. And so, you know, with a lot of deaths because of that, and I blame the politicians, because in 2011 they had the same similar issue with a power generation unit. And it's overseen by Electric Reliability Council of Texas. Now, and because of Texas, they don't want no part of the federal government. And El Paso decided they wasn't going to be part of that, you know, electric grid. So they went separately. El Paso went separately, and they still had lights.
Yeah.
But the million others did not have lights because they was on the same grid that was overseen by this Electrical Reliability Council of Tech. All over 3 million people had been affected by the outage. People have died. They were using their clothes, burning their clothes. They had no food. They had no water. And it's a doggone shame that the governor was against the climate change. They're trying to change their tune now. Ted Cruz, some of those other politicians, those conservative politicians want to go against what really happened, because they didn't pair those generators in 2011. They just ignored it, the problems that would happen in 2011. And so this is why you had all these people that were affected by the storm. So what would they do now? I know they're going to ask for federal aid. You know, Biden's working on that. As far as them want to, you know, succeed and didn't want to be a part of the United States and all this other crap, they'll talk about that prior to the this winter storm. They just was not prepared, these power plants. And it was unfortunate because it was all about the billionaires making more money. Forget about the people. Forget about the renewable energy and all that. They try to blame it on the reason why the problem that they had with outages, millions of people out of power, basically what they were saying, it was renewable energy. It was something really stupid. It was the wind turbines and all that. They didn't want it. I said those politicians need to be oofed out of there. Ted Cruz, the governor, Abbott. It's unfortunate that people are still suffering. Some people have restored. Few of my relatives have, you know, they have power now. They reside in Texas. I know other people as well, family members there, and they're perhaps living there. Something that they just was not prepared. They couldn't make the assumption that they weren't going to have winter outages, any problems when it came down to storms, because Texas has had this problem before and they didn't fix it. And now you got people dying of carbon monoxide poisoning, and it's just unfortunate that it's going to continue until they work with the government, which they didn't want to do. I mean, the federal government. So, so what they did was allow these generators, things that need to be repaired in at the power plant, and they did absolutely nothing. So if they need to change, these politicians need to stop making the political stuff, focusing on money and start thinking about the constituents that they suffered the most, you know, when it came down and having their own electric grid, one separate from everybody else and not depend on other states. And so it's so clear as day, you know, what had happened. When you got El Paso with had lights on and a few other nearby cities where they had the power, and then other places didn't have the power because they were on the grid, you know, with those clowns ERCOT, ERCOT, they were wherever they was overseeing the cities and stuff in Texas, that's where all the power went out. So they didn't do their job. And so right now they need to get rid of the ERCOT. They need to get rid of those politicians because I hold them responsible. And then there's a denial of climate change. And so, and it's unfortunate that you see people with their lights in the ceiling had icicles on it. you know.
You don't see that in Texas. Very seldom. Listen, you got 2 minutes. I got to move on.
Yeah.
But tell us what you want us to know in 2 minutes.
Well, let's put it like this. We as a country got stopped politicizing what's going on in America that's affecting our lives and our livelihood. We definitely have to come together and make sure that crews going on a trip to Cancun in Mexico and not worry about the people that's back home that's burning their clothes up for heat. So, basically, we just overhauls have to do things differently, you know, and stop putting so much emphasis on fossil fuels and more on renewable energy. And we wouldn't be having these problems if it wasn't about it. It's all about money. So we got to make sure we get the right people in office that's going to be supporting the people and their needs and save lives.
There you go. All right. All right. Thank you so much. And listen, you take care of yourself and have a good day and hang on in there. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thanks.
That was my good friend from sunny Detroit, the one and only Marcino Cole. Now let me bring in my good friend, Laura, and she's from, I tell you, she does other hits. I know a lot of times people don't get the idea that, you know, that people can be targeted by our government, but this is a young lady who has been targeted by our government, and we've been following them for years and years. You know, matter of fact, I took a group to Washington, D.C. to meet with the senators and the House members, and also during that process, it was just amazing. But here I am right now. Laura, are you there? Talk to me.
Lauren, yes, Reverend Pinkton, yes. Thank you for having me on. And let me just say Matthew 20 and 16, so the last shall be first and the first shall be last. And isn't that
true?
Aren't we seeing
our brothers
and sisters come into being? It's happening every day.
I just wanted to,
and maybe you can usher me in because I'm gonna have to take breath. The attacks have gotten so aggressive, it's kind of taking my breath away. So if you want to ask me some questions, just kind of give me a little bit of time to breathe. That would help me.
All right, here's what I want.
Mm-hmm. Okay, go ahead.
Here's what I want to know. It's my understanding that they don't that the TIs don't like to be called TIs no more. What is the other name that is used instead of saying TI? Because I always say TI. That's how I've been knowing them for, you know, since 2005, and I always use that term TI. And they say, well, we don't like some kind of cyber victim or something. Can you elaborate on it being
cyber attack? And I, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
It's funny you would say that because I don't believe in labels myself. And when I was talking to the people that know more about this, because it's all new to me, it's new in as much as December 2020. I didn't know what the TI meant. I didn't know what that was. But I'm not a labeling person, so I had no clue really what that was until I looked it up. And then I started getting on the conference lines, and then I come to realize it's targeted individuals. So I never liked the initial TI because I don't feel like I'm a labor type person. I don't want nobody to put a label on me. But after
Amen.
I started getting into and getting a little more understanding about it to know that I am targeted, very much so. I am very much targeted, an individual that's targeted. So it's more or less now being looked at as being cyber attack. On people, and I think that they are kind of really getting away with using the TI, but still, I mean, people are still saying TI. That's because that's what they know, that's what they've learned, and that's just what each other calling each other TI.
That's the only thing that I. And, you know, that kind of like, you know, most of my listeners,
That's what they know. I think someone came on, I can't remember who it was, and they started talking about cyber victims or something like
stalking.
That.
Cyber stalking.
Say that again?
Mm-hmm. Cyber
stalking. And they kept saying cyber victims. And it kind of like get some of the people confused on what, you know, what should we be calling these people, you know, that's been targeted by the government, you know. And I like target individual. I like that term because what it does is it goes right to the gut of the problem where you've been attacked, you see. You
right.
become a target person, a person who's targeted by a government, you know, which I do. Hey, let me ask you this. Have you ever heard of Robert Duncan?
No, I have not.
Okay, he wrote a book about, it's called Soul Catcher. That's the name of the book. It tells a story. He was a former CIA spy, Harvard graduate, and he wrote this book in reference to target individuals, and he laid it out. Matter of fact, what he did, he more or less explained some of the things that was happening that people couldn't explain. You see, like
mm-hmm.
you know, you have a perp, they call a perp, who follows you everywhere you go.
Perpetrator,
and then you have groups that have these perps inside the group watching you and creating problems. And all that kind of stuff. So that's one of the things that I learned a lot from Derek too. Derek taught me a lot about.
I learned a lot from Derek as well. I don't
mm-hmm.
think that I would have been as knowledgeable if it had not been for Derek. And Derek mm-hmm. is Derek Robinson is his name. He is the director of PACT, which is People Against Covert Torture and Surveillance. That's PACT. And
mm-hmm.
He is the one that's been informing me on, you know, ways you can protect yourself from the microwave devices, which is what is being used upon us. You know, and there are certain things that you can use that can protect you. But at the same time, I always say if you're being surveillanced, they can see what you're using to try to protect yourself. So what the stalker or what the perpetrator is going to do is try to use that much more force to try
mm-hmm.
to break down your barrier. Whatever it is that you can wrap your body in, and for instance, right now I'm using some roofing tape that's wrapped around my body because just recently
mm-hmm.
I was beginning to get more and more strikes to my heart. And
uh-huh.
if you remember, I called you early one morning a few days ago. Because
and
I
will never forget
that.
Make it. 3 o'clock in the morning.
I know, and I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so sorry, but I did not know what to do. And I was actually going to pick up the phone and call the police, but I remembered somebody said, no, don't call the police, because if
mm-hmm.
you do that, they're going to start looking at you as being a nuisance, a crazy person. Perhaps you need to be locked up in behavioral health, as I was. And that's a whole nother story. So when I came across your number, I said, let me call Reverend Pinkley and see how he would handle this situation. And, yes, it was 3 o'clock in the morning, and I can't apologize enough for that. But I just, you know, when you're in the state of mind, and that's the whole thing about this, Reverend Pinkley, if the perpetrators can get your mind, they have got your body, and everything else has to line up. The thing is, they want to control your mind, and they want to put you in a state of fright where you can't trust anybody, you don't know who to talk to, because some people think you're already strange, saying that these devices that are being used against you, you quite naturally, if you can't see them, then it must not be happening. So it must be in your head. So it puts that kind of intimidation and fear in your heart where you really don't know who to go to, what to say when you get to that person, and how to describe what's happening to you. And that's why I say it's a mind-controlling thing. And then on top of that, they're using devices that are implanted like chips to make you think that you're hearing things, make you think that people are saying things to you, but they're really not. And so the chip is controlling your thought process. You know, these devices can actually look in your eyes. They can see what you're looking at. So they may turn on a light that you know, well, you know, I didn't just turn on it, turned itself on, you know, that type of thing. And this is how mind controlling this can be, and it can really break you down. But, yeah, back to Derek Robinson. He is the director of PAX, and had not been for him, I would not have known exactly where to go with myself, because I was just to a point where, you know, nobody's going to believe me. You know, if I try to tell any law enforcement, they're going to say, okay, yes, for sure, she needs to be locked up in a insane asylum. And that actually did happen to me one time, just recently.
Oh, you know what? I could see that happening, because usually I normally tell people not to call the police, because usually, and here's another thing, as long as you're in your house, they can't take you to jail as long as you're in your house. But if you step outside that door, they can take you to jail. So be aware of that, because that's crucial. Whatever you do, don't call them. And here's another thing. You know, some of your attacks, you know, they can do it by satellite now. You know,
right.
That's how sophisticated they are. You see, they can monitor you by satellite and everything else. So that's why it's hard. Like, people go from state to state trying to get away from this. You know, you can't, because it's there. So my thing
it's
is that
there.
You should stand up and fight. And the way it attacks the body is all is attacking the body at all times. And so you got to get yourself mentally prepared to deal with stuff like this, you know. Especially,
I
know this one lady, she told me how she was being attacked sexually behind this.
I have to admit. I have to admit that happens to a lot of women as well as men. You know, it happens to both sexes. And I just remember, I don't mean to cut you off, but I just remember some years ago I was having a sensation in my private area, and it was like a force. And I was like, I've never felt that before. But when I think about it, come December this year, 2020, I said, that's the same exact sensation that I had years ago. So when people ask me how long I've been a TI, I say it happened in 2020, but I had some symptoms that was going back years before that I could not put together. But then when it happened to me again in 2020, I said, so, okay, this is what's going on. They are sodomizing me, and that is not a good feeling. And I just think anybody that goes below the belt, you know, you really have ran out. You can't do anything else. You might as well just go on and just say, let me rape you and go on and get it over with, because you have done that. You have you have come against my will, and you have sodomized me, and I, you know, you don't have the right to do that. So how much lower in life can you go? And I just say to anybody that does this to any individual, you cannot have a soul. There's not a person on this earth that can call themselves a human being and sit and watch on the other side of the wall while somebody cries out and screams at the top of their lungs. And even some people want to end their life because they cannot handle this form of torture. And it's, again, it goes back to the mind, because you're thinking, okay, am I really losing my mind, or is this really happening? Sometimes you second guess yourself. So you're fighting that problem on top of the problem that you're being tortured so much, you really just don't want to live, you know? And so I was actually on the phone with my best friend. She's actually on the line now. I just brought her in.
one day trying to figure out, and I was just brainstorming. I said, what is it that I could do to figure this thing out? I started looking at the light poles, thinking that, you know, some radiation could be filtering in from that. No, wasn't that. It just would not come to me. I looked up everything that I could. Something came to me and said, look under surveillance torture. And, oh, my mm-hmm. God, there it was. When I saw wow. that, Reverend Pinkley, I burst out in tears. And my friend is on the line now. She'll tell you. Her name is Paula. I
okay.
cried so hard. I was like, okay, God, you have just given me my revelation, because I didn't have a name to put with what was going on with me. And I was trying to figure it out, but I couldn't. I couldn't go to somebody and say, look, this is happening to me. What do you think it is? Because, again, they were looking at me like I was strange, and I understood that.
Yeah.
People can only believe things that they see, and if they don't see it, it must not exist, right?
That's right. That's right. I agree with that 100%.
You're dealing with double trouble when you're trying to convince somebody and tell them this is going on, but then at the same time, you don't see it your own self. You just feel it, you
mm-hmm.
know? So it's really something to deal with. And I'm going to tell you this real quick, too. People are going to be targeted whether or not they want to, because once they get this, what they call smart energy,
mm-hmm.
the upgrade on your electricity, believe me, this 5G, all of these towers that are going up around us, you know, it's going to be logging radiation into your home. And it seems clear that, you know, this is an EM attack. It's going to be on everybody. And it's, you know, what I feel like, honestly, we're going to be, walking into each other. Because
uh-huh.
all of this radiation that's going on around our heads, you know, it can't be nothing but cancer and all of these other ailments that's unexplainable, you know. And I said years ago when they did these cell phones that, you know, it was going to be some problems with brain cancer. And
mm-hmm.
I'm going to give you something to think about, too. Babies are coming out with cancer. They haven't lived on this earth long enough to be, you know, getting some of these radiations that the rest of us are getting. So that has to tell you something, right? So we have so much radiation that it's now affecting the newborns. And when I tell you, I had a cousin that had a baby, and the baby was born with cancer. I said, there is no possible way. There is no possible way this newborn that just was born just a few weeks ago has got cancer. How
wow.
is that? So you have to think about all of these waves that are filtering into our bodies and going on with us. But you can just best believe it's not good. It can't be good. At the end of the day, it's going to be a whole lot of people that are going to be sick. And they're not going to know why. But that's why
you
ain't going to be
about
one of them.
You know, you talked about 5G.
Yeah.
5G is, you know, is
call me back, Mara.
Okay.
Is
go ahead.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. 5G is really getting to be something now, and they're putting up these they're putting them up everywhere. I mean, in our community, they even putting them up at night is 5G, and I'm very, very concerned about 5G. I think it's going to see, you're talking about being targeted, become targeted individual. I think that is one of the tools that's in their toolbox that they're going to be using more of in order to control the people. You know,
sure.
And I believe that. But yeah.
Oh,
did your friend want to say something?
No, I just bought her and she called me. She called me while I was talking to you. So. I thought I would bring her in, but it's okay. Yeah, she hung up. But yeah, she's the one that I was saying that I talked to about this.
Mm-hmm.
And she really didn't know what was going on. And she kept saying, Lauren, you know what's happening to you. And I understand that it's hard for you to explain this to somebody else because they can't see it.
Yeah.
That's the thing. This is what I call a silent murder, a silent torture. That's what this is. And, you know, it's happening. It's happening to everybody. It's happening to the diplomats. As you already know, this started with the Savannah UN diplomats over in Cuba.
Uh-huh.
And
Cuba,
China.
Right, absolutely.
So,
China.
Right.
And,
so,
and don't forget,
you know,
the Iraqi soldiers. Remember
right.
when they
well,
had
I
the
mean,
war
if you
there?
Go further back, I'm sorry, if you go further back, it's been going on for many, many years. For many, many years. And I'm going to give you something else really to think about real quick. When you have servicemen going into service for illnesses, and they call it, what is it? What is the one that they always say that you have problems
MS.
With?
I can't.
It's leather. Anyway, it's where you can't handle because you've had such an impact from war that, why can't I think of it? Anyway. So, well, it's true. You in war, you in service, you saw all these people getting killed. Quite naturally, that would give you some pause, okay? It would make you think, okay, how much more death do I need to see? But some of these servicemen and women are coming out with this condition, which I totally just got a blank. But they are coming out, and they're telling the going on with them, and they really can't figure it out, but there is a name to it. It's going to come to me in a minute. But if you think about it, you have to wonder, well, are these servicemen and women coming out and also being targeted, you know, because they're coming out with all kind of mental issues. You know, that's the one thing I always wonder. Are they really still suffering from the war part of it, or are they suffering with the targeting part of it, you know?
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
You know,
let me ask you. Let me ask you this. Have they started attacking your neighbors, trying to convince your neighbors that you have a mental problem? Have they started that yet?
No, but it's funny you would ask that question. I had a turn of events that happened this summer right in front of this house. And I'm not in my home for various reasons. I'm in my ex-boyfriend's home.
Uh-huh.
It's been a whole lot of things that's been unexplained since the COVID, and I came in and I said, I'm not going back out, because sat down and I just started reading my Bible, and God started giving me revelation after revelation. And he says, Lauren, I'm going to tell you some things that I've been trying to tell you, but you haven't been yielding. So when I sat down and started getting into the Word, I started seeing so many different things happening. And God is he's so gracious, because he did not give it to me all at one time. If he had, I would not have been able to handle it. I started seeing all of these lights being flashed into my bedroom window. And the neighbors across the street was flashing lights. And I thought, well, that's kind of weird. He must be a pervert. So I asked my ex-boyfriend, I said, do you mind? After he did it 3 or 4 times, I said, do you mind going across the street, asking him to stop flashing that bright light in this bedroom window? Well, he never did do it. So I continued on. Started noticing another house, not directly beside his, but the house beside that one. I started seeing these lights being flashed from that yard. Okay, well, that went on for a while. Then we got the neighbors on the other side of the guy that initially started this, on the other side of his house. Now I'm seeing all of these lights coming in. But now I'm seeing human beings late at night coming from the backyard. So you know the lights that you use when you're doing mechanical work, the little band that you put on your head, and it's
absolutely
two lights it has?
Okay.
I see 4 men come from the back of his yard with these bands of lights on. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, I am getting ready to be killed. So, you know, I ended up calling the police that night, and the police came out, and he was like, you know, I didn't want to talk to him, so I just let my ex-boyfriend was trying to beckon me to come and talk. And I said, no, you just go out there and find out who is doing this. Because it was getting on my nerves, but then I come to realize this was being done intentionally. So God calmed me down from that. Now, one particular evening, I'm sitting in the bedroom at night. I see this bright red light come, and it lit up the whole. Now, I got my blinds closed. It
okay.
lit up the whole bedroom, okay? My whole bedroom turned red. And I'm thinking, okay, well, now the mothership has just landed, and they're coming to take me away. I had no clue as to what was going on. But I just remember seeing this light on the next street over, always flashing light towards this house, and it would always land into the bedroom. So these were some of the things that started to happen outside of the fact that I was being followed around in my car, and then I was being followed around in the store, and I'm like, you know, this is getting a little freaky here. And then I started this summer. I don't know if you remember when the George, well, of course you remember it, but the George Floyd
mm-hmm.
event. Okay,
yes.
I went and started mm-hmm. protesting my own self. So basically, I was out there protesting myself. All of a sudden, I start seeing this guy come around, and he wants to know if he can videotape me while we're protesting. And I'm saying,
yes.
well, while I'm protesting. And I'm saying, sure, no problem. And it was just kind of strange how he just appeared on the scene and wanted to videotape me. So I'm thinking, okay, well, he's going to videotape and then move on. No, he didn't. He stuck around. He walked across the street, came back, and did some more videotaping of me. And I thought, okay, well, I just already gave you one viewing. What else do you want? So that started piquing my interest, like, where did he come from? And why all of a sudden did he zoom in on me? So the next time I was at the next day or so, I went out there and protested again. I'm starting to see one person on another block with their son in protest, and I'm thinking, okay, well, I'm not out here by myself. Okay, the next time I go out, I'm seeing a crowd of people showing up protesting,
mm-hmm.
and I'm like,
mm-hmm.
okay, well, maybe I made an impact, and so these people want to get out and protest with me. When I think about it, that was a setup. All of that was set up. And I think that I was being watched then. In fact, I know that I was being watched then, just like I have been watched throughout the town of the protest, where people were taking their phones out, and they would put their phone on record. They didn't
mm-hmm.
know that I knew this, but that I was coming in contact with during this protest was putting their phone out in front of me, kind of trying to be inconspicuous, but they didn't know that I know about how to record. So I'm looking at their phone, and they thinking, okay, well, she doesn't see any of this. Yes, I did. So they were not only watching me, but they were recording my every conversation, okay? So these were some of the things that started happening to me once I sit down and started getting revelations about, you know, what God is really trying to had tried to pour into me to let me know that these were things were going on around me, but I could not see them because I was in my own head, okay? So, and I'm going to just say this real quick. I did a visual downtown. It was like 1,000 and some people there.
Okay.
I do a lot. I have done a lot of outreach in the city,
mm-hmm.
and I have been
mm-hmm.
recognized. I've been recognized for doing it. But there's 1,000 people that's in the crowd. And so I'm sitting there doing my tell you, I could not say another word. I was in the midst of it, and then all of a sudden my brain stopped. It came to a complete halt. And I'm just thinking, well, Lord, are you going to let me finish saying what I'm saying? Because I have to tell these people what it is I'm trying to let them know.
Okay.
And I just actually remember I just sat there for a few minutes trying to figure out what I was going to say next. I don't know if I was being under attack then. I just know that there has been a lot of things that had not added up until, again, I started getting these revelations. So this
wow.
is so much of a mind-controlling situation that, you know, I've had two unexplained procedures. The first one landed me in the hospital after I had this endoscopy done.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And actually before that, let me just say, actually before that, when the nurse was getting ready to put the needle in my arm, I had a nurse lean over and whisper that the doctor was going to stretch my esophagus. And I thought, what? She said it again, but she's whispering this to me. I'm saying, why is she whispering? Anyway, the thing that happened was, when I look back, she was trying to warn me that this doctor was going to do something that I did not give him permission to do.
To do, right.
Okay, so
hey,
when
listen,
I woke
Laura,
up from
you got about a minute left. And
So when I woke up, from this procedure, I was admitted into the hospital because they thought the doctor had torn my stomach.
Uh-huh.
And that was just one procedure. And then 2017, that was 2012. 2017, I started having problems with my heart from that initial. Okay. So now the doctor's telling me that I got a 70% blockage in my aortic, which is your main valve in the middle of your chest. They tell me I got a 70% blockage. They want to unblock it. I go have the procedure. I wake up from the procedure only for the nurse to tell me, Ms. Birch, you do not have any blockage.
Mm.
And I thought, huh? Now, they didn't tell me I had a 20 or 30 or 40 or 50%. They said 70% of my aorta was blocked. How do you go from zero to 70 back to zero?
Absolutely. Hey, Lauren, we're going to have to finish this story some other time because we have just ran out of time. And listen,
sure.
I appreciate you, girl. You just stay focused and stay on top of what you're doing and deal with it on that level. And we'll talk soon.
Okay, then. Thank you so much for
having me. All right now, Lauren. Take care now.
Uh-huh.